Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with a lesson from Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer number 7. The question is, what are the decrees of God? Answer, the decrees of God are his eternal purpose, according to the counsel of his will, whereby for his own glory he hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. The proof text is in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. We have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. On the whiteboard, I have several topics that come to the fore as we take a look at this answer in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. The first idea we come to is that the decrees of God, plural, amount to the purpose of God, singular. The decrees of God are his eternal purpose. There are a multitude of decrees, pronouncements, made by God. And all of these decrees amount to the single purpose God has. One way to look at it would be that all the decrees of God are focused on this one purpose. But all the decrees of God also come together to form the one plan of God, the one purpose of God. We would all agree, as Bible-believing Christians, that God has a plan. And all the decrees that he makes, all the pronouncements God makes, come together to bring out this single purpose, this single plan of God. This means that there are no contingencies, so-called. I used to believe that God had a multitude of contingency plans, and that if I made a choice and it was numbered 152,622, that God would implement a contingency plan 1,432,535. Well, God has no contingency plans. And this is brought out in the idea of many decrees, but one purpose. And we all understand that this is the case, because when we look back, after having gone through a process in our lives, and we look back at what God has done in our lives, we understand that God's purpose was carried out perfectly in all the little decrees that had to make up that purpose in God's plan for us. So there are no contingencies. And this also means that chance is not a viable concept. Chance does not exist. Things do not happen randomly in the universe, and they do not happen randomly in our lives. Everything occurs in accordance with God's decrees or God's purpose or plan for our lives. What is chance? Chance is nothing. Chance is no thing at all. It is a concept that we may have in our heads, but it is something that in reality does not exist. What about freedom of will? We make a multitude of choices every day. We decide what socks we're going to put on, what slacks we're going to wear, what shirt we're going to wear, what tie we may want to wear on a particular day, and we make a multitude of choices every day. And we make these choices freely. But these choices are encompassed by God's decree. And what this means is that the means leading to particular ends are decreed as well as the ends themselves. If individuals are going to come to Christ in the plan and purpose of God, the means of their coming to Christ is the presentation of the gospel. And how the gospel is presented to them is decreed by God as a part of his plan or purpose. If we're going to write a research paper, we need to do the appropriate research and carry out the proper investigations in our research to come to a conclusion in our research paper. The means are ordained as much as the ends are ordained. The means we use in our research are part of the decrees of God as much as the end result is a part of the decrees of God and the purpose of God. Well, what about the free offer of the gospel? I've already touched on this, have I not? The gospel ought to be freely presented to men and women everywhere. The New Testament makes this abundantly clear, that Paul would preach the gospel, that Peter would preach the gospel, that our Lord Jesus would present the gospel of the kingdom. He did so freely, and he presented the gospel openly. Now, to whom the gospel comes in an effectual way so they are converted is another matter. The means of presenting the gospel is that it be freely broadcast. The ends that certain people should come to a knowledge of Christ is also decreed by God. It's sort of like this. In an open public meeting, someone may come to the podium and say, there's a green Malibu in the parking lot with the license plate XYZ123. Your lights are on. Well, when that announcement is made, it's made to everyone in the auditorium. And it's freely made so that everyone in the auditorium hears the announcement. But in the end, that announcement is directed toward one person, the owner of the green Malibu with the license plate XYZ123. And the announcement applies directly to that individual in the auditorium. Similarly, when the gospel is proclaimed openly and freely, God designates whom it is that that gospel is going to be, who is going to receive that gospel. He is the one who applies directly the words of the gospel to. And so the gospel is freely broadcast to men and women, but may be applied only to certain individuals who openly hear the gospel. The means and the ends are equally ordained and are part of God's decrees and purpose. This is this idea of God selecting some, of course, is election and involves foreordination. Let's read the proof text again, given by the Westminster Divines. We have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose, according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. God's counselor is himself. We have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose, see, the single purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his will. Who is God's counselor? He himself is his own counselor. His will is supreme. He is the sovereign Lord of all. And all of this is to the end that we who first hoped in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. God's purpose is carried out so that God will have glory, that everything will point to him and be applicable to enhancing his glory and his splendor and his majesty before a watching world. And as I say, foreordination is part of the picture, you see, that we are foreordained. We are chosen before the foundation of the world in accordance with God's purpose and God's decrees to hear the gospel. What a wonderful thing this is. Of course, this brings us to the idea of sovereignty and predestination. Sovereignty has to do with everything in the universe, whether animate or inanimate, whether it has to do with rocks and stones and trees and flowers, or with moral beings like you and me. Sovereignty has to do with everything, animate and inanimate. Predestination, on the other hand, specifically zeroes in on moral beings. Again, the proof text. We have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose, his purpose who works all things after the counsel of his will. We, as moral beings, have been predestined. Again, what about freedom of the will? Well, when we speak of freedom of the will, we often think of autonomy, and we think that we ought to be autonomous beings, that we are a law unto ourselves. That's the meaning of autonomy. But only God is autonomous. We are dependent creatures. We are dependent beings. And in this, we act freely in all that we do. And yet, God's decrees encompass that moral freedom. Predestination has to do with God's moral creatures. And predestination is falls out under two heads, election and reprobation. We are predestined, in other words, as moral beings, to be chosen of God or to be passed over by God. If we are elect or chosen, it is on the basis of grace. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. If we are chosen of God and a part of the elect of God, it is purely on the basis of grace. There is nothing in us that merits God's election. On the other hand, reprobation means God passes over some. In the mass of fallen humanity, God draws some to himself, and he passes over others. Is this unjust? No, it is not unjust, because those whom God passes over suffer the penalty due to their own sins. They are responsible to God, and they suffer because they have sinned. Those who are saved by grace are indeed saved by grace. And Christ dies to cover the penalty due to them for their sins. In the case of those whom God passes over, this is indeed not the case. Christ's sacrifice does not cover their sins. Oh, yes, it would be adequate to pay the penalty due to their sins, but Christ's sacrifice is not applied to them. You see, God does not believe in double jeopardy. Either Christ paid the penalty due to you for your sins, or you must pay the penalty for your sins yourself. And in the case of the reprobate, in the case of those whom God passes over, they pay the due reward for their own sins. And so sovereignty is broken down into the category of predestination. Sovereignty has to do with both animate and inanimate creatures of God. Predestination has to do with only the moral creatures of God. And the headings under predestination are election and reprobation. The elect are saved by grace. Those whom God passes over are guilty of sin and pay the penalty due to them for their sin. There is no injustice in God. What are the decrees of God? The decrees of God are His eternal purpose, according to the counsel of His own will, whereby for His own glory He hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. Imagine this. You, Christian, are an elect person of God. God, by grace, has saved you, and you are one of those who have been predestined to receive this grace. God in His sovereignty predestined you to receive this grace. And when you look back and you realize that this is the case, you realize that you have been caught up in the plans and the purposes of God. That God's decrees, His eternal decrees, have encompassed you from the very beginning. And that you are saved by grace means that from all eternity you have been loved by the great God of heaven. Is there not comfort in this? What are the decrees of God? The decrees of God are His eternal purpose, according to the counsel of His will, whereby for His own glory He hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. What comfort, what glory, what grace is found in the decrees of God. Thanks for listening.